Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
The Eagles are at the podium, and we're here to cover it all thanks to the fine folk at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist, and today we have two press conferences coming your way with head coach Doug Peterson and franchise quarterback Carson Wentz. There's some interesting scheme talk in the Peterson chat with the media, but you also got to love him praising former Eagles wide receiver Torrey Smith to open things up, talking about their Super Bowl win with him on the day that Smith has officially retired from the NFL. Congrats on a great career, Torrey Smith. We appreciate you. So be sure to check that out and be sure to be subscribed so you don't miss all the new shows and hosts that we have added to this feed, including Jimmy Kemsky of PhillyVoice.com, joining BLG on BGN Radio number 80. And of course, this morning was the debut episode of Babes on Broad with Sam Wilson and Jessica Towne. Couldn't ask for more from their first show, and they're only going to get better. So make sure that you take a listen to that. And of course, Benjamin Solak and I are in the middle of our two-part preview of Eagles-Falcons in week two. We've already covered the Eagles defense, and tomorrow we're going to hit on the offensive side of the ball and probably talk some Minkah Fitzpatrick since there are trade rumors out there. And you're also going to get another weekly edition of Eye on the Enemy with special guest Gina Thomas of SB Nation and the Falcoholic. So there's a ton of content here of all varieties. Stuff it all in your brain before Sunday so you can be the most prepared fan at your viewing parties and at the stadium, or shout stuff you heard on here at your dog. I won't tell you how to live your life. All right. Like I said at the top, two pressers on deck, Doug then Carson. Let's see what they had to say when they were at the podium.
Just want to start by saying that saw where Torrey Smith is stepping away from the game, and just want to congratulate him and his family. It's a great opportunity for him in his next chapter of his life. He helped us win a championship, and he's a great man.
Hey, Doug, Atlanta. There's still a lot of cover three with Dan Quinn. And what kind of problems does that present?
Yeah, this is still a lot of one high defense. You know, Bob Sutton is there as well as a senior advisor, and you know, there's you can see a little influence of Bob Sutton a little bit with some of the man-to-man stuff that he did in Kansas City, but yeah, still a lot of the single highs. What the issues you have is there's a lot of vision on the quarterback, obviously, and eyes are back on him, and you know, reading where the quarterback's looking. So we got to be very disciplined in our route running. Quarterback's got to be on point with progressions and getting through those fastly, and then of course trying to beat the rush.
In the three games you've played against the Falcons here, Julio's had three big games, but you've kept them out of the end zone and kept their scoring down. What's been the approach, would you say?
Well, just that. Keep him out of the end zone. This is a dynamic player, and we've faced guys like this before, and it takes, you know, on defense it takes all 11 on every play. Obviously, you got to know where he lines up, and then you just have to do your job, do your assignment, be focused on the details of that defense, that particular down. Obviously, if we can disrupt the quarterback, it helps. But you know, we know he's going to get his. He's a great player. We just try to do our best to corral him and keep him out of the end zone.
Doug Fletcher Cox is on the injury report. Is that related to the injury that he was coming off of? And what's his?
Yeah, it's just related to that. Nothing serious. Nothing more than that.
You had a couple two running back sets in the first half last week, which you hadn't shown a lot last year. What do you like about those?
A little bit of versatility. I like our running backs. I like having Sproles, and whether it be Miles or Sproles and Corey or, you know, Jordan out there, you know, utilize their strengths. It can sometimes cause, you know, matchups on you know, defensively, but in our case, utilizing both kind of Darren's route running ability with say Miles' running ability at the same time.
Doug, you mentioned the other day looking into what causes foot injuries. Do you remember when you were a player that the Lisfranc and the foot injuries being as prevalent as they are now?
I can't remember yesterday, and you're asking me to go back a long time. You know, it's an injury that's shown up a little bit more and more. I know, you know, what I know basically is I know the league and through the NFL and through surveys with the players and all kinds of things, they're trying to gather as much information about surfaces, about shoes, about, you know, whatever it can be. It just seems like that more and more, again, you're hearing about it. But, you know, we just do our best to educate our players on the one, the equipment, you know, protect your feet. Not only from footwear, but obviously off the field as well. And, you know, do our best to try to eliminate.
Have the cleats changed a lot since you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're a little more specialized, contoured, I mean, developed for, you know, specific needs, specific foot shapes and sizes. And so, yeah, it's gotten pretty big.
Doug, you've been around a lot of rookie running backs. So what has stood out about Miles Sanders kind of behind the scenes? And how he's approached his first season?
He's approached it with a business-like mentality. He comes to work. He's eager to learn. You know, you see it in the practice when he takes it from the meeting room to the practice field. I think where he's really gotten better, one, is his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, and two, just pass protection, blitz pickup. And that's hard, you know, in this league when things happen so fast, and he's done a really nice job of that. But his demeanor is businesslike, and for a young player to come in and approach it that way is special, and you know, it's also a reflection of Deuce as well, you know, coaching.
I know it's tough to lose Malik, but have the experiences from the last 2 years losing key players kind of prepared you guys for something like this?
Yeah, I think that you know, because we've had that the last couple of seasons, we don't blink. You know, the next guy or the next man up or the next guy in has always been the mentality. I feel like one of our strengths as a staff is coaching our second and third, you know, string type players and getting them prepared. And this is no different.
Doug, the way quarterbacks communicate route adjustments to receivers, how has that evolved over the years, or how is it, if at all, any different from when you played?
Well, you're seeing, I mean, obviously back when I played, we saw more two-back, you know, offenses and max protections and, you know, just one-on-one type stuff outside. Today, you're seeing one-back offenses or no-back offenses, spread the field, empty the backfield, and just doing all kinds of, you know, route combinations. You know, you're seeing pick plays, you know, the vertical passing game, you know, deep crosses, things that were there back then, but I think the emphasis was more on the run game. I think, you know, when I played, and obviously everything is kind of flipped, but you know, these are things that as offenses we look at this stuff in the off season and how can we evolve and how can we utilize the strengths of our players, and even, you know, to the point of when we're looking at college players, you know, and how a JJ runs routes, for instance, you know, and what he can do in the red zone and things like that. How can he help us, you know, win games? So it's changed quite a bit since I played. The talent level is obviously, you know, I think too, you're seeing not only the talent level, but these receivers are bigger, you know, bigger, faster, stronger coming out of college, and definitely puts pressure on defense.
Sudfeld gets closer here. How do you view the number two quarterback spot? Is that Josh McCown's spot?
For now, you know, this week anyway, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to that point.
Doug, have you given Carson more control pre-snap when it comes to choosing the plays that he wants to get into, and what's kind of the thinking behind it?
No. Short answer is no. However, we do put in a particular package or two in the game plan that allows him to use his creativity and flexibility within the game plan. But for the most part, you know, the play that's called is the play that's run or executed. And then within that, he does have, there are some plays where he has, based on what the defense gives him, he can change the route or the route combination. So, but, overall, basically he still executes the play called, until we get into one of those, you know, other packages.
What dictates when you would utilize like such a package?
Sometimes, you know, maybe when we're struggling on offense, need to get a spark. A lot of times in our hurry up stuff, we allow him to kind of take it over, you know, and just what he's seeing and putting guys in position. We help from the sideline. I give him, you know, a play from the sideline that we know has a couple of options on it, and then he can change, you know, one or multiple options on the play based on our game plan, you know, that week and that particular play. So it can be really any time during the game. There's really no set time that we would use it, other than if the offense is struggling and we want to get a spark and try to get something moving.
When you want to go hurry up or tempo, is that predetermined before a series, or are you saying something in the headset real quick after a play to get him to get everybody lined up?
Yeah, for the most part, it's a little predetermined that, hey, this next drive, we're gonna do our hurry up. Yeah.
Doug, you brought in Marcus on the practice squad. We talked about Wendell Trayvon going down to Washington. He was with Atlanta all spring and summer. Do you have the defensive coaches check in with him to see a little bit what's coming?
They may have checked in with him a little bit during the week. But, you know, other than that and just seeing what he knows, there's, you know, he's really, yeah, he's more a ULM guy than he was with the Falcons.
What is the communication like between you and Deuce on game day in terms of deciding, like, what running backs you're going to use?
That's predetermined as well. That's all based on the game plan that we put together during the week. Thanks, guys.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
You're 22 for 24 on those keepers in your career. You've attempted more than every quarterback but Cam in the league over that span. Do you like those plays? Do you enjoy them? And what's the key to executing them?
The key is the big guys up front, honestly, and really especially the three interior guys with Kelsey and Brooks and Isaac. And obviously over the years those have been different guys. But those three and then the surge from really everybody, that makes my job easy. I just got to fall forward. So coach trusts me with that. Coach trusts the O-line to get a surge no matter what the front is. And we've been able to stay on the field on a lot of those.
Do you enjoy those? I mean, do you get a kick out of converting those?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's – I like staying on the field. I like staying on the field. So, you know, when we went for on 4th-and-1 and we were able to stay on the field 3rd-and-1 and those things, I don't really care how we do. As long as we convert, I love it.
Does your cadence factor into that too? Do you kind of like catch them off guard?
It can at times. I mean, you don't – try not to overthink it because, you know, it's, to some extent you're like – we believe our guys are going to be able to win this surge, and you know, try not to overcomplicate it sometimes too.
You guys were 8 of 10 on third downs in the second half against the Redskins. What can you, when you look back at that film, what can you take on why you were successful there into this game?
You know, I thought it honestly. We just our preparation and play calling in those situations was so key, and you know, we know the Redskins really well. They know us really well, and just really taking a look at the package that we put in that week. I think that really kind of made the difference in that second half, and we were able to just play fast and execute.
Have you played the Falcons in a while because of the injuries? And what did you learn watching those two games from the sidelines, and what have you seen
with the film recently?
Yeah, I mean, you watch them on film. You watch the games from last year. Obviously, you know, they're gonna let you take, you know, things underneath. You know, they're gonna make you kind of earn it down the field. And sometimes you just got to be patient and let the shot plays come to you and take what's given. You know, got to get the run game going as well to kind of tighten their coverage up a little bit. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're just gonna have to play our game and, like I said, take what they give us and be patient.
Carson, you've only practiced with Deshaun until that Redskins game, and he's just flying down the field. It almost looks like, at least on TV, it almost feels like a video game we're watching. Are you surprised just how fast Deshaun is and just how you can just air it out and get to that ball?
I mean, not anymore, because I've seen it since he got here. You know, it's one of those things people talk about, you know, he's still fast. He's getting up there in age. I've seen it from the jump since he got here. You know, he can roll, and it was good to kind of use that speed as a weapon for us and get those big plays on Sunday.
Everybody obviously in the league is aware of what he can do, Carson, but putting those two plays on film, what ripple effect does it have on the defenses that are going to face him as you guys go along?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, you could argue to some extent an element that we've missed at times over the years, and just to have that be able to open up some things for everybody else, open up some things for him as well. You know, he's not always just taking the top off, but the thing that I like, you know, we were creative with how we got to him. You know, it wasn't necessarily the exact coverage that you take shots necessarily, but the way we were able to design those plays. So we're going to find ways to get him involved down the field every week, and Coach does a good job of that.
Carson, you talked about sort of Dan Quinn, his mentality, a lot of cover three. We always talk about your aggressiveness as a player. Do you have to remind yourself that maybe there's some bait and switch out there?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's the biggest thing, just watching the film. Just got to keep reminding myself to be patient. You know, Coach is going to call a great game. I'd already trust in that, and just take what's there, not move the chains. And then, you know, when they get aggressive, then we can be aggressive. And so, you know, it's a little bit of a chess match and who can break first. But, yeah, just got to keep telling myself and telling the whole offense, just we got to be patient and the shots will come.
You went to, in Washington the second half, you went to more 12 personnel with Zach and Dallas on the field. How did that help open up the game in the second half? And what did you see from Dallas having missed the whole preseason? How did you see him kind of getting acclimated as well?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Dallas looked great. You know, I think he looked great all spring and obviously training camp before the injury. And, you know, it's good to get him coming along the way he has and using 12 personnel. And honestly, I think we can use 12 and 11 exclusively and do so many really good things in both those packages. And the other day we just got in those sets and they were working for us. So that's something that we'll definitely kind of keep using as we go. When you have two tight ends the way we do, being able to use them effectively both in the passing game and in the running game, it helps a lot.
I can't imagine that most quarterbacks like being in third and 10, third and 15. What's your mindset when you're in those situations? Are you thinking, like, let's just live for the next play? Or are you improvising? What are you doing?
Yeah, it's a fine line. It's a fine line. Obviously, I want to stay on the field first and foremost. But, you know, trying to learn, just take what's there. And at times, you know, you got to improvise and make a play. And it worked out for us the other day. So, again, it's always a fine line. You know, defenses are going to scheme up and play things differently as the year goes on and take what's there. But we were able to extend some of those plays. And, you know, Ertz and Alshon did great jobs kind of uncovering and getting open. And, you know, obviously that's not something you always want to run around and make plays. But when it's there to be had and you can move the chains, those are huge plays.
Are there a lot of plays in the playbook for 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15, or is that just you?
Not really. I mean, there's only so many things you can dial up, and you know, oftentimes the defense is just playing soft, and you got to take underneath stuff unless you can make a play. But there's definitely times where you can get in the perfect play and take a shot down the field.
Just one game, but do you feel like your deep ball touch has gotten better, or you just have someone who's better tracking the balls?
It's hard to say. I mean, having a guy like Deshaun obviously helps a ton. And so not playing with him over the years and having him out there, I mean, that helps without a doubt. And I just feel like it's something that I've worked on really since I got in the league, and I'll keep getting better at.
So what are you guys doing in practice this week to get off to better starts so you guys look more like the team that we saw really in the second half last week against the Redskins.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It's you try not to overthink it and just kind of focus in on what we do well and execute those things early. And like I said, this is going to be a week we're going to have to stay patient. So come out early and just kind of figure out what their plan is for us and just get the run game going and stay patient and do our thing. But we try not to overthink it and over worry about it.
I was wondering, like, if you've reached out to Nick Foles at all since his injury, and just your thoughts in general about it.
Yeah, I did. I did reach out to Nick, and I love Nick to death, and the competitor that he is. So that's really a bummer and unfortunate, but that's what we sign up for. You know, when you play this game, there's just so many things you can't control, and I know he believes that. He believes that God's using it for a reason. So to be able to just go through it from a faith-filled standpoint for him, I know it's tough, but I know he'll handle it well.
You were asked a couple times during the preseason, Carson, about not scrambling in practice. You extended plays several times on Sunday, and they turned out pretty well. Obviously you didn't need to practice.
Yeah. It's a fine line. I didn't go looking for it. Just the way the pocket got condensed and not able to get out. And again, it's something I try not to overthink and just kind of let instincts take over. And we were able to stay on the field. And like I said, those were huge, huge plays in that game. And we're not going to make a living out of running around and doing those things. But when it's there, we're gonna make the play.
Carson, how often do you go into a play without like a designed play call where you just kind of call one on your own?
We do it at times. And sometimes it's, on my own, but a lot of times coach gives me ideas and, a couple plays here or there that, whether he tells me in the headset or it's things we've talked about quite a bit during the week. So guys know, hey, it's not the whole playbook we're going to get to. We got a select package of plays that we're going to get to. And, we were able to do that a couple times on Sunday, and it's something that over the years we've done here and there. And, I think it's been effective for us.
What do you like about it?
I think it gives us a chance to just see the defense, see what they're doing, and just kind of keep it simple and play fast. When we're able to communicate well and get everyone on the same page, it's just something that in theory you should be able to get yourself in the best play and hopefully execute it.
Carson, with your new off-season workout and diet,
go ahead.
With your new off-season workout diet, did you feel any differently coming out of the game in terms of recovery or soreness, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I did feel good coming out of the game. And that's is it the recovery and the diet and all that, or is it the fact that the O-line dominated and I barely got touched? It's a lot of those factors. So, but I do think those things have helped me and will continue to help me.
Carson, do you think it's an advantage where your receivers are so different, like Alshon and Deshaun, size-wise, speed-wise, kind of puts the defense in kind of a quandary?
Yeah, it's definitely nice having guys with different skill sets like that and the way they complement each other so well, and not just those two, but Nelson in the slot and being able to kind of move all of those guys from the slot to outside, and they're also versatile and do so many different things, and Nelly in the running game as well getting involved, and so just having a complement of guys like that, it's makes my life easy for sure.
Running back screens, it seems like a few of the timing was off. Is that just still getting used to Miles and Jordan?
One of them they had covered and just dirted that one, and the other one we just missed. And those are things that, every Sunday it's kind of a, I don't want to say a roll of the dice, but, if the defense reads them, you got nothing you can really do. So I'm not too worried about those, and I know Coach will get those dialed up, and we'll hit some of those as the year goes.
Obviously, it's going to be loud in the dome, silent count. What are some of the keys to making that work and execute?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just here in practice, over the next few days, kind of getting that dialed in, and basically, as a quarterback, staying quiet so guys get used to the fact that they can barely hear me, and working on hand signals and communication. And I think a lot of that is happens here in practice. And to some extent, you can only prepare for it so much, and then we just kind of go execute on Sunday.
You mentioned Nelson there a few times. Deshaun made a comment after the game that Nelson wasn't getting as much as the other guys that day. Are you cognizant of who's getting the ball, and do you say anything to those guys after the game?
Yeah, after the game, obviously you can look at the stat book and see, what's going on. But during the game, you find the matchups and you go with what you're feeling. And when it's zone coverage, you just go with where the defense tells you to go with the ball. And obviously, Nelson didn't have a big game statistically. We still had shots for him. We just missed a couple of them. So it's definitely something that I'm not worried about. I don't think he is either. And I know, like we've talked about all off season. We're going to have weeks where one guy's going to go off and the other guy's going to barely get any, and then it's going to switch. And so that's just going to be how it's going to be this year. And I think guys understand that. Thanks, guys.
BGN. Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.